the Gebeth, but his legs would not hold him up. He staggered, reaching for support. Light swam and flashed in his eyes. He felt himself falling, and he felt himself caught even as he fell, but his mind, utterly spent, slid away into the dark. Chapter 7, The Hawk's Flight. Ged woke, and for a long time he lay aware only that it was pleasant to wake, for he had not expected to wake again, and very pleasant to see light, the large, plain light of day all about him. He felt as if he were floating on that light or drifting in a boat on very quiet waters. At last he made out that he was in bed, but no such bed as he had ever slept in. It was set up on a frame held by four tall carven legs, and the mattresses were great silk sacks of down, which was why he thought he was floating. And over it all, a crimson canopy hung to keep out drafts. On two sides, the curtain was tied back, and Ged looked out at a room with walls of stone and floor of stone. Through three high windows he saw the moorland, bare and brown, snow-patched here and there in the mild sunlight of winter. The room must be high above the ground, for it looked a great way over the land. A coverlet of down-filled satin slid aside as Ged sat up, and he saw himself clothed in a tunic of silk and cloth of silver, like a lord. On a chair beside the bed, boots of glove leather and a cloak lined with Palawi fur were laid ready for him. He sat a while, calm and dull as one under an enchantment, and then stood up, reaching for his staff. But he had no staff. His right hand, though it had been salved and bound, was burned on palm and fingers, and now he felt the pain of it and the soreness of all his body. He stood without moving a while again, and then he whispered, not aloud and not hopefully, "Oleg, Oleg." The little, fierce, loyal creature, too, was gone. The little silent soul that once had led him back from death's dominion. Had it still been with him last night when he ran? Was that last night? Was it many nights ago? He did not know. It was all dim and obscure in his mind. The Gebeth, the burning staff, the running, the whispering, the gate. None of it came back clearly to him. Nothing even now was clear. He whispered his pet's name once more, but without hope of answer, and tears rose in his eyes. A little bell rang somewhere far away. A second bell rang in a sweet jangle just outside the room. A door opened behind him across the room, and a woman came in. "Welcome, Sparrowhawk," she said, smiling. She was young and tall, dressed in white and silver, with a net of silver crowning her hair that fell straight down like a fall of black water. Stiffly, Ged bowed.
"You don't remember me, I think."
"I remember you, lady." He had never seen a beautiful woman dressed to match her beauty but once in his life. That lady of O, who had come with her lord to the Sun Return Festival at Roque. She had been like a slight, bright candle flame, but this woman was like the white new moon.
"I thought you would not," she said, smiling. "But forgetful as you may be, you are welcome here as an old friend."
What place is this? Ged asked, still stiff and slow-tongued. He found it hard to speak to her and hard to look away from her. The princely clothes he wore were strange to him. The stones he stood on were unfamiliar. The very air he breathed was alien. He was not himself, not the self he had been.
"This keep is called the Court of the Terranon. My lord, who is called Benderesk, is sovereign of this land from the edge of the Keksemp Moors north to the mountains of Os, and keeper of the precious stone called Terranon. As for myself, here in Oskil they call me Seret, silver in their language, and you, I know, are sometimes called Sparrowhawk, and were made wizard in the Isle of the Wise."
Ged looked down at his burned hand and said presently, "I do not know what I am. I had power once. I have lost it, I think."
"No, you have not lost it, or only to regain it tenfold. You are safe here from what drove you here, my friend. There are mighty walls about this tower, and not all of them are built of stone. And here you can rest, finding your strength again. Here you may also find a different strength, and a staff that will not burn to ashes in your hand. An evil way may lead to a good end, after all. Come with me now, let me show you our domain." She spoke so sweetly that Ged hardly heard her words, moved by the promise of her voice alone. He followed her. His room was high up indeed in the tower that rose like a sharp tooth from its hilltop. Down winding stairs of marble he followed Sarett, through rich rooms and halls, past high windows that looked north, west, south, east over the low brown hills that went on, houseless and treeless and changeless, clear to the sun-washed winter sky, and only far to the north small white peaks stood sharp against the blue, and southward one could guess the shining of the sea. Servants opened doors and stood aside for Ged and the lady. Pale, dour Oskillians they were all. She was light of skin, but unlike them she spoke Hardic well, even it seemed to Ged with the accent of Gaunt. Later that day she brought him before her husband, Benderesk, lord of the Terranon. Thrice her age, bone white, bone thin, with clouded eyes, Lord Benderesk greeted Ged with grim, cold courtesy, bidding him stay as guest however long he would. And then he had little more to say, asking Ged nothing of his voyages, or of the enemy that had hunted him here. Nor had the Lady Sarett asked anything of these matters. If this was strange, it was only part of the strangeness of this place and of his presence in it. Ged's mind never seemed quite too clear. He could not see things plainly. He had come to this tower keep by chance, and yet the chance was all design. Or he had come by design, and yet all the design had merely chanced to come about. He had set out northward. A stranger in Orme had told him to seek help here. An Oskillian ship had been waiting for him. Skiorch had guided him. How much of this was the work of the shadow that hunted him, or was none of it? Had he and his hunter both been drawn here by some other power, he following that lure and the shadow following him, and seizing on Skiorch for its weapon when the moment came? Well, that must be it, for certainly the shadow was, as Sarett had said, barred from the court of the Terranon, and he had felt no sign or threat of its lurking presence since he wakened in the tower. But what then had brought him here? For this was no place one came to by chance. Even in the dullness of his thoughts, he began to see that. No other stranger came to these gates. The tower stood aloof and remote, its back turned on the way to Neshum, that was the nearest town. No